over Las Piezas, what is the practical way to do it? So the most common way it's done, it's recommended, and the way it's done is that since the halacha is only actually up to the mitzvah, if you take the dalet down to the latan, it's only considered the mitzvah if they're held upright. So what you do is you specifically pick up the esrog not upright initially before you make the bracha. You want to have it in your hand. You don't want to make the bracha while the salaminim are just sitting on the table in front of you. That's too far removed. You want to be holding them, but you want to be holding them in a way that you're not yotzei. So you pick up the esrog upside down, which means the pitim down, or the side where the pitim would be is down, and the stem is up. And the lulav you hold, regular. And then you recite the brachas. If it's the first day, you recite both brachas. After that, you recite the one bracha. And after you complete the bracha, or the two brachas, then you make sure to turn the esrog right side up. That's the sometimes people forget or overlook. If you don't turn it right side up, you won't even be able to the mitzvah. So you make sure then to turn it up right side up, and then you do the nanuim, and you shake the lulav. That's the most practical way. The mice, if you forgot, and you picked it up normally, you already picked it up with the pitim up and everything, you could still say the bracha, because even if a person did the nanu already, the initial nanu, and didn't make a bracha, so as long as he hasn't done the nanu in Hallel, as long as it's still before Hallel, he could still make a bracha, because that the nanu during Hallel is enough that they, if you're part of the mitzvah, that it's still considered to be outtake, like a sort of a mitzvah in shechet. So you can still make the bracha after the nanum and hallel. So certainly, if you just picked it up by mistake with the pitim up, you could still, and you haven't even done anything yet, you haven't shaken it, you certainly can still make the bracha at that point. That's the typical eitzah. The other eitzah, the Vilna Gaon said, you could pick it up normally, and just have in mind, have tavana that I don't want to be yotzei the mitzvah until after I say the bracha. Because first of all, mitzvah is trikas tavana, but even if it's not trikas tavana, if you specifically have mind opposite, you're not yotzei. So that's a different eitzah, but that's not the typical eitzah that's done. Typically, it's the other way. As far as the question about owning, buying salaminim with a partner, so the question is based on the fact that the first day in the chutzpah is the first 2 days, you have to own the lulav and esrog. It says the lekachtem lachem, it has to be yours. So that's only a requirement the first 2 days. During Chol HaMoed, it's not this requirement, then it's to borrow a lulav and no shaila. The shaila is the first day when you have to own it, so what happens if I own it b'shutzpah? So if you own it b'shutzpah, the halach is really, to fulfill the mitzvah, you have to own it by yourself. But certainly, a shutzpah is two people own it apart, it's on his partners. When each one gives to the other, right now it's yours. It's completely yours now. Just like if a person doesn't have a lulav and esrog altogether, they go over to someone else, and that person gives them the matana, even a matana manas b'hachzir, which is typically what is done. And while he's doing the mitzvah, it's his. Right at that point, it's totally his. He just has to return it afterwards. So that works. So certainly by two shuftim, one shuftim can give it to the other, and during the Shas Mitzvah, it belongs totally to shuftim number one, and then afterwards it belongs totally to shuftim number two. And it says even more, if you look at Tabrish and Ches, you probably saw it, that by shuftim, even if they forget to stick it out, even when they bought it together, the shuftim, that was the understanding, that each one should own it totally during the time that he needs to. So lechatchila, you should stick it out, you should still say, right now it's yours, Matana, it's totally yours now, and then he gives it back, and the other guy says it's totally yours now, but even if they don't say it, the Maitre, the shift would be to the Mitzvah. All right, now, there's a question about a lefty, a person who's left-handed, it's a yad, so is there a difference in how he takes the Lulav and Esrog? So, you probably saw it, the Machlokas, Mechaber, and Ramah. We pass them like the Ramah, that there is a difference. Whereas a righty would hold a lulav in his right hand, since the lulav has the hadasim and aravas attached, so the three mitzvahs and the esrog is one mitzvah, a right-handed person would hold a lulav in his right hand and the esrog in his left hand, a lefty should do it the opposite. We pass like Ramah, that a lefty should hold the lulav in his left hand, his left hand and they were entering his right hand. Now, in terms of what is a lefty, so if there is, when it comes to Philip, it's a much more typical shy left. When Philip, there are a few different sheets, and one of the sheets by Philip is that it depends on which hand you write with. Even if you primarily do everything with your left hand, but if you write with your right hand, then you're a righty. But a little bit, that's not a factor, or at least it's not a primary factor. It doesn't. It goes by what you do your most malachas. If you do most malachas with your left hand, even if you happen to write with your right hand, but you do most malachas with your malachas kevedos, but you carry things, you carry a suitcase with your left hand, and you bang your hammer with your left hand. If you do most things like that with your left hand, then you're a lefty, and you could and you take the move in your left hand. If you have any shilas, then you do both. Some people do both, even like tefillin, but it's certainly less complicated than tefillin, just to switch. You know, switches the other hand. But primarily, a lefty would take the lid in his left hand. It's not clear. The question is which side does the hadas go on and which side does the rubs go on? For a righty, the hadas go on the right. You hold the lid with the star with shedra towards your face. You see the shedra, but the hadas on the right and the rubs on the left. That's for a righty. Does the lefty do the same thing, or does the lefty reverse it? Does he put the hadassim on the left? Because to him, left is right. His left hand is what we call him in. His left hand is really him in. So perhaps he has to put the hadassim on the left side, and the others on the right side, the opposite of what the righty does. But the prima donna says, no, you don't do it. The prima donna says, you're hopeful. You set up a little the same way as your right-handed friends do. That's it. I believe that is the minute. Although the Bikur Yaakov disagrees, the Bikur Yaakov says it's sincere then. If you're holding the rule with your left hand, then you're saying that we go after, Jamin Zivay, not Jamin the Alma. But the hit was Jamin. His Jamin is on the left side of his body. So then why wouldn't we put the Hadassim on the left side? Yaakov disagrees with that. We're posting inside and telling you to look at the Kriyakos. I just see the doctor from his book. He says, in the stop it like the Kriyakos. Do it that way. But I don't think that's the Mendoza. I think the Mendoza is just to set it up the regular way and have the Hadassim on the right. Either way, it's the Ose, but as I say, I think that's the standard min. Now, in terms of... So there are two questions about the arranging the Dalet Minik on the lulav. There's one question, should we be holding on to the actual lulav instead of the holder? The holder, which is what we call the kashrut roll, which most people have on the lulav, with the hadassim and the rubbers in. That's not a problem. That's the standard minute, and it's considered, it's not a chassidah, because it's meshamish the lulav, and it's derech to use it to hold the Dalet Minik. It's not a chassidah. You can hold it up the kosher roll, you know, over the holder. And in terms of whether this should be the question is asked, what is a real knot at the bottom? So, again, it's not known to do that because we pass in that rule of answer again. You don't really have to tie it all together. It's done as no mitzvah. It's considered a beautification of the mitzvah to tie the hadas and the rubbers on. But we do it with the rings, the rings that are wrapped around a few times and tucked in. That's the minute you said. Now, there are people that do it differently, and some of the Lulav and Essex Sharim that have pictures, you see pictures of the elaborate Sharim and Sharim that don't even use the kosher roll, they just tie the Lulav and Essex, tie that ass and rub it directly on the Lulav. And, people are knowing that way, ish, kafim and hago, but the standard minute, at least amongst the Ashkenazi, we do use the kosher roll, and we hold it, and we don't use real knots, we just use, twist, whatever you call it, the ring, and that is really fine. Okay, let's just switch to, in terms of holding it during the question about holding it during the Hal and Hoshana, it's not the end of the world if you hold it in one hand, though I would think for the Nanuim, when you shake the Hal, better do it the other way, put it on the table, and after the table, and hold it in two hands. You walk it around during Hoshana, which is valid, if you have to hold it in one hand. Probably work it out to hold the asking in your left hand and the Hoshana card there, but it's not critical. That's definitely not critical. During that, I knew we were trying to hold it regular, and the rest of the time, it's not critical. Okay, let's just say a little bit about sukkah here. The question about sitting on the sukkah decorations. So I want to point out that what's brought in halach is that any sukkah decorations that hang from the schach should be within four tefachim of the schach. It should not hang lower than four tefachim. That four tefachim is about 3.5 inches. So that's about 14 inches or so. And really, decorations should be within 14 inches of the schach. The shaila in one of the schach is that they all get marked within 14 inches so that they're hanging from the schach itself. Is those going to be okay? Or do they have to be totally contained within the 14 inches, within the 4th schach? Tasha says it should be contained within the 4th schach. So I know in my sukkah where we try to be careful not to, we hang very, very little from the schach. We put decorations all over the walls, but from the schach, nothing or kamat nothing, so that it shouldn't be hanging. So it's very hard to keep it within the 4th schach. I once saw in the paper Okos Rabbeinu about the stipler in Chazanish. It was brought there that the stipler, apparently, stipler of Tzadok Goyim was not did not hang anything from the schach. The sukkah never did. So once he brings there the Reb Chaim Kanievsky, when he was a young boy, he was once decorating the Chazanish sukkah. The Chazanish was his uncle, was the, married to the stipler sister. So he was once decorating the Chazanish sukkah. And he decorated the wall. He didn't put anything on the schach. So the Chazanish saw it. He said, "What, what's this? Why is there nothing from the schach?" They said, "Oh, my father doesn't allow it. He my father's house doesn't do it." The Chazanish says, "I allow it. It's okay. You can put it." Now, I'm just saying this from memory. I didn't look this up now. And I'm assuming he meant, we just put it within 4 schach. The disciple was not, but just don't do it. We want the schach, decorate the wall. But the Chazanish, you don't do that. Just comply with the halacha. So the question was about sitting underneath it. So if it's within 4 schach of the schach, then you can sit underneath it. It's not a problem. It's tafel. It's tafel. No, it's sukkah. It's tafel to the schach as long as it's within the makom of the schach within the 4th bucket. If it's lower, then it could be a real problem, and that should be avoided lower. Okay, let me just address there was one question about the very general question, what do you do when the Bir Halacha says differently in the Mishnah Berurah? So that's an important discussion. To my knowledge, I don't have any absolute rule. I know some people say that you just follow the Mishnah Berurah. I personally think it's a case-by-case study. I think you have to go by the Lashonos to see, when he says differently, how does he phrase it, and how does he refer to what he said in the Mishnah Berurah, etc. There's one example given here. I didn't really look it up, so I can't comment on that directly. And it's a broader discussion. Typically, the fact that the Mishnah doing the final word, typically, but I don't believe it's an absolute rule. And sometimes, even if it is a general rule, but sometimes there'll be details in the Bir Halacha that perhaps will at least modify the fact of the Mishnah Berurah. And you have to use caution in reading the Lashonos to know what to do. Okay, I think we've pretty much addressed the questions. Wish you all a Machasima Tava, a very productive, definitely on Kippur, and then an enjoyable Simcha Dikta Sukkot in Paris, and come back ready for the new Zman.